I am back, and I want to just say, first things first, shout-outs to East of the River Studio. Shout-outs to the homie Mirage, behind-the-scenes engineering for this episode. And before I get to my guests, I want to say this. Welcome to the Long Beach Social Experiment Podcast with your host, Steven Martinez, a.k.a. Mega Man. This episode is 276, and I want to say, before I introduce my guest, I've been following her journey. She's a good friend. A lot of people don't know this. There was a time where situations happened. It was on Christmas, and someone robbed and took all my stuff. And you and your mom reached out, drove all the way to Long Beach, and they helped me out. And I just want to say, Olivia, thank you for that, and I really, really appreciate it, because that's a true friend right there. And so my guest for is like, who is Olivia? Olivia Alvarez. She is the co-host of the Fat Ass Podcast. It's been a minute. What's up, girl?
Hey, what's up? Thanks again for having me. This is the first time I've been on Long Beach Social Experiment. I've been on Mega Man's podcast before when you had that prior, I think two or three times, which is super fun. But it's been a minute since I've podcasted.
I know, it's been a minute. I noticed that a lot of podcasters are taking long breaks, and there's some that are getting back to the rhythm. But for some kind of reason, when a lot of the lockdowns and situations happened, everyone just was more like they went hiatus. So with you taking a break, Olivia, like, what have you learned?
Taking a break, I just learned that my mental health comes first. And I believe a lot of people feel the exact same way, post-COVID. Everyone's kind of like, I don't know, I guess focusing more on themselves and putting themselves first versus like anybody else that they were helping prior, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I just feel like I just wanted to do it for myself and nobody else. And yeah, I feel bad for all of the listeners that I had prior, but I needed to do it for myself.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people who really are focused on mental awareness. And when I ask, I won't mention names, but with other podcasters, you know, like, I have to focus on my mental health, you know, like, for some kind of reason, there's always going to be a hiccup or a situation when it comes to personal family matters or here, whatever, where, you know, I love doing podcasts. I know you love doing podcasts. A lot of people doing podcasts, but there's always going to be bumpy roads. And for some kind of reason, you know, I was more like, why is that person taking a break? Like, is he weak, he or she? But for me, I was a little hardhead back then. But to be honest, I think it was the best decision that you made.
Right. And you can, you know, focus on whether it's yourself or your family or whatever you want to do. Traveling more, like, go for it. You know what I mean?
I know. That's why I noticed that you've been, like, you and your man, you've been traveling a lot. Like, damn, his boyfriend's behind me. He'd be like, don't be talking about my woman like
no.
that.
No, not at all. Yeah, we love traveling, and we want to do more of it. We want to see the world. There's so much you can learn and so much you could experience. It's just so beautiful. I love doing it.
So have you been going to a lot of pop-up, a lot of street vendors, a lot of food, restaurants? Talk to me. What I want some detailed scoops.
Right. Well, I mean, I actually started vending. Like, it's basically my full-time job now. Because I don't work for the man or anybody else anymore. So I basically make my own food and I sell it at different events. And there's so many talented people out there. So many, like, whether it's food or artists, like various artists and all from all walks of life. So it's great.
Because I remember, like, with you and Crystal, you guys worked in the food industry.
Yeah, we did. We both went to culinary school. We both worked in various restaurants, hotels, and we actually met at a hotel and we were baking bread. Like, that's it, you know? Like, we both love bread, and that was the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
How's Crystal doing?
She's good. I saw her, I think it was like last week or 2 weeks ago, and she's really, really good, but she's been taking like a mental health break as well.
Really? Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, because I saw, like, I think they're here in Long Beach. We guys doing at Seabird.
Right. So we actually went to the Seabird's location. I believe it's...
In Long Beach?
No, the other location.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's like, I think in, not West Hollywood, but like that, mm-hmm. you know, that trendy area.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I'm that... place was awesome. But there is another Seabirds in Long Beach.
Yeah, the Seabird is it's right there. It's right there where a lot of the bars on 4th Street. I'm gonna tell you, Olivia, like Long Beach changed a lot.
Oh yeah.
Like gentrification is really hitting hard, but at the same time you're seeing like a lot of street vendors coming, then you're seeing a lot of businesses closing because of gentrification and all that, but there's a lot of good pop-ups, like, you know, restaurants opening up, like breweries, restaurants downtown, taco places and all. But at the same time, like, when you have a lot of pop-ups, you know, street vendors and all, and you have a business that, you know, let's say, for example, a street vendor is making Mexican food and all, like, right there where the restaurant's at, oh my gosh, like, everyone's all going there because they have good deals, and my restaurant's, no one's coming because everyone's like inflation, everyone's trying to save up to try to stretch that dollar.
Right, I don't blame you, but like I find that like most of the like the most talented people have come from like the pop-ups and the smaller places. And I mean, I don't mean to like brag about my business, but it's so good to like
brag, girl, brag.
No. But it's so good to like serve people like my food and seeing their reactions in real time and, like, you know, getting all that positive feedback is so good. And, mm-hmm. yeah, it just makes me feel all giddy and, like, good inside about it.
I was telling people this. When the lockdowns happened and a lot of people lost their jobs or laid off, you know, like, man, what am I good at? Let me start making my own business pop-ups here. And there were just – everyone was skyrocketing. But now this year for 2023, Olivia, you're going to see another second wave of people be like, yo – I got to fucking hustle. I got to get my name out there because there's going to be more layoffs.
Oh, yeah. That's what I've heard, too. So you have to, like, really, like, find out, like, what you're good at, like, hone your craft or whatever and try to make money from that. And there's so many different ways that you can make money from, like, you know, your, like, painting, like, if you're a painter or, like, any sort of, like, little craft or gardening, like, if you're into gardening, like, so mm-hmm. that's what I'm trying to figure out so I can sustain, like, you know, like, sustain my business, sustain, like, you know, the lifestyle I like to live, which is traveling all the time.
Yeah, I want to travel, too. I mean, I want to go to Paris, France.
I know. I went there last year with my boyfriend for my 30th birthday.
Hey, you know, for my birthday, I want to go to Paris, France. I like where your head's at, girl, and your boyfriend, but I want to go to my friend's birthday. I want to go check out the catacombs.
Oh, that's where we went. It was awesome.
Shut up.
Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah, that's, like, my boyfriend's, like, number one place that he wanted to go to. He's like, as long as we go to the catacombs, like, that's what I want
to
do.
Did you go with, a guide, tour guide?
You have to.
Oh, yeah, because if you look at under the ground, they say it's, like, 400 miles, like, of city, like.
It stretches so far. I mean, there's in the guided tour parts, there's, like, certain parts that are blocked off that you can't get to. But, I mean, it's just all bones everywhere, obviously, like, you know, just skulls and, like, I don't know, bits and pieces of, I don't know, the human
skeleton. Did you know why they made the catacombs?
I'm pretty sure they told me, but it was all in French.
The reason why they made the catacombs because they were having a sewage problem. And so they had to make more just to have the sewage go to a certain area because the sewage, like, the bones, everything was piling up to the top. And you don't know if you're stepping on feces, dead bones, bacteria, like all that. So they make that. But you need to be careful with those because if you're going there by yourself, like, you're fucked.
Yeah. Yeah, you can get lost. My boyfriend wanted to go to, like, where the locals go. I guess there's a part where you can go down there, but I don't trust any of that. Mm-hmm. 'Cause it's like a maze down there and you don't know how to get out.
Yeah, just don't go there when you're fucking smoked out.
Yeah, I know.
Because I heard some creepy ass stuff. But yeah, like, talk to me about your pop up. Like, when did you start doing your pop up?
I actually started this past December, so December 2022, and it's kind of funny because I'm just gonna say that I got fired from my job.
Me too. I got fired.
I like kind of got fired slash I quit. Like, I don't know. It was this weird thing that happened at I can't say where, but at a particular place that I was working at. Mm-hmm. Toxic environment, so horrible. Like,
but it was, you know, awful. What? I think in a way, it's like when you get fired from a job, you're like, oh, thank God. But anyway, it's relieving. But when you think about it more, you don't want to be in a to work at if it's a toxic environment. Because if you're dealing with social media, then you're dealing with outside, you don't want to bring that shit to work.
No.
But and also a lot of those people, when it's toxic, and this is the thing, what I learned, because you and I were podcasters, we like to see the surrounding of the area, the personalities, how they are and everything. But I don't, I just avoid them. I ignore them. I don't want to listen to those type of drama stuff like that, because I deal with that outside. But I understand.
Right. And I just, yeah, it was like this weird thing that had happened. And that same week, I just so happened to have two events booked that same weekend. So it's kind of like I transitioned right out of something into something brand new. It's almost like closing that chapter of my book into the next chapter, you know. And then I had two successful events back to back, and it was amazing, and I had like a bunch of positive feedback from people. It was great.
What do you do your pop-ups at, mostly Nislo, Smorgasburg?
No, it's not Smorgasburg yet, but that's definitely a goal of mine. I've been doing like various ones. So there's like some in Downey, there's a couple in like my area, kind of like near Culver City area. There's one that I recently did in the Arts District. So yeah, it was fun.
I was over there on Saturday. It was packed.
Oh yeah, it gets popping down there.
And the only thing is the fucking parking.
Yeah, it kind of sucks.
I went to Angel City, then I went to where they sell that rattlesnake bronkwurst.
Oh yeah.
You don't talk right
there. Wurstkirch.
Yeah, I went there. Yeah. Then I went to Art District's brewery.
Oh, that's a cool spot.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff to do, and I went to go drive the 6th Street Bridge. I don't want to be all clout, you know.
I know.
What you think about like everything's changing? Like, you think in a way we're going in a good direction, or it just everything right now is just like it's expensive.
In terms of what, like just terms, price like, wise?
Price or? Rise.
Yeah, I mean, there's like price hikes everywhere. Like you see it in the grocery stores, you see it on menus and restaurants and stuff. But I mean, at the same time, like I still have high hopes that, you know, what comes up must come down. So mm-hmm. I don't think it's forever. It's just mm-hmm. for right now.
Yeah. With the a lot of people ask, like, you know, when you were doing the Fat Ass podcast and everything, there, you and Crystal, when you were putting these episodes out, it was nothing but healthy, like, episodes where, hey, eat about this, read about this, eat this, this is good. I mean, you just got to, you know, be careful of what you eat now, because a lot of the stuff is like, you got to be careful. You don't know if it has a lot of corn syrup, you know, has a lot of, you know, you get cancer. It's just, it's a lot of processed food.
Yeah, and our bodies are all different. So, like, I can eat, like, you know, like, a ton of food and I'll be okay, versus, like, another person, they'll eat a ton of food and they'll feel like shit, you know? So, I think it just depends on the person, but there are certain things, like, that aren't good for you. So that's why, I mean, as you know, I got sick for a little bit a couple years ago, and then I had to change into a vegan diet. But now I'm healthy.
I think you told me about that. What happened?
So my body, like, I don't know, it just kind of like took a big shit on me. Mm-hmm. And I found out that I was like sin 3, which means like, I was like, if it was sin 4, I would have had like gotten cancer, like, ovarian cancer. So I didn't want that to happen. So I ended up switching to a vegan diet. I hit it hard on my supplements, and then now I'm better.
For a person who is curious about vegan, like, where's your protein, like, everything? Because you need to have that meat.
Right. I mean, you can source your protein anywhere from, like, beans. You can do it like garbanzo beans. There can be, like, you know, from sweet potato. Like, you can source it from various
I'm a little curious on that.
Yeah. There's like a ton of things that you can do. And there's also like certain protein powders that are like all natural that you can do too. So, I mean, it's just as good as eating meat, if not better. And I feel better. I feel lighter, and I feel like I have more energy as well.
Yeah, I used to shop at a Sprouts at Whole Foods, but now with the inflation, everything's getting expensive. Like, damn, man, just like $30 or $40 for some eggs. Yeah. Meat's going up, lobster, everything.
Yeah, it's inflation's no joke, but I feel like I'm pretty privileged in that sense because I have chickens. So, I mean, we get the eggs from the chickens, so we don't have to go to the store to really spend money on eggs these days.
I was going to tell you a little conspiracy, but you know what's going on in Ohio, right?
Yeah, I've heard of it.
So, you know all that contamination, right?
Yes.
So, if it's hitting all the Ohio rivers, you know, water and everything, and a lot of the animals are dying, it's more like to the point, like, should we start piling up on water and certain foods? Because what happens if that stuff really hits the West Coast?
I don't know if Ohio would really affect the West Coast like that, but I don't know about, and I also don't know about, like, stocking up if that's the answer, but I think, like, we should definitely, I don't know, care about what we eat and, like, what we put inside of our bodies, like, here, right now. Mm-hmm. I do feel bad about what's happening to the people in Ohio, for sure. Like, that's unfortunate. And I'm sure, like, the government's going to help them in some sort of way, but hopefully, but we'll see. I don't know.
Trump.
Right. No, absolutely not. Not me.
Nah. You know, to the think, like, man, it's like everything's all getting, like, crazy, and we're giving so much money to a lot of these countries, but how come we just can't use this money to help our own country?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have the answer for that, but I mean, it should, I mean, yes, it's good to help others, but yeah, we should also look inward as well.
I was going to ask you, when it comes to social media, do you kind of, you know, check to see what's really going on? Because there's some stuff like, yo, I can't watch this. This is too much.
In the most recent times, not really. I've just been 100% focused on my business and trying to, mm-hmm. like, put all of my energy into that. Mm-hmm. And I also try to not to, like, focus on, like, things that are negative, but I also want to stay up on current events too. So, I mean, I don't really subscribe to, like, a whole lot of, like, negativity, if you will.
I'm more of a balance, you know. I just want to try to push out a lot of facts. And the thing is, I noticed that a lot of TikTokers, they are like 40 steps ahead of a lot of people where they're pushing a lot of shit out. Like if it's feminist, masculinity, pretty much with the government here, whatever. And I'm like, I don't know if I should just post this because a lot of people are scared to, like, should I post it and get deleted here? I have to watch what I say because a lot of people are woke and a lot of people are too sensitive. So I have to be careful what I post, you know?
Right. And I mean, I'm not on TikTok a whole lot because I just don't believe half of the shit that's on there. And I don't really, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like most of these people don't know what the fuck they're talking about. So I just, like, I take it with a grain of salt, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. And I mean, I don't think you should be afraid of posting whatever you want to post. It should be free speech, right? So,
well, yeah, but when you have, like, certain people in the social media world with the influencers or people that work for some of those social media companies, like, they can just, like, we're just going to shadow ban you.
Right.
Because back then, it was the wild, wild west, but now it has to be fact checked. And I'm like, I don't know if I should just post this up. Should I take a gamble? Because every time I post, it's almost like I'm putting my podcast, my reputation, my image, and my page at risk.
Yeah, I guess that comes with, like, fame, right? Like, anything that you, like, say or do, like, you're going to be, like, criticized no matter what, positive or negative, right?
Did you ever get criticized on your podcast show or not really?
No, not really. I feel like we did it for such a short amount of time that we didn't have time for the haters to come in, you know what I mean? Like, I just feel like, and even if I did, I probably would have cried, but
it's... No, no. I just, to me, when I was working overnight, I was so listening to your show because the thing I like about you because on your show is that at the time I was like, they have something because now we're in that, okay, 2 minutes, okay, reels, okay, short, go, not 3 hours of podcast. You're trying to do like, hey, cut it down to 58 so we can hear other ones where everyone's more like short episode and go. And yours was like 35 minutes, but it was very educational.
I tried.
You did.
I used to just like gather a bunch of information and just say, okay, how can I simplify this and reach like a ton of people and educate them in such a short amount of time? You know what I mean? And I think that was my goal. And I'm glad that you sort of like educated yourself in through my show. It's weird to say, but
there's one thing for us, and I, like I said, I love to try to support whatever podcasts I can, but trying to learn from each other to make us better people, to really sit down and really understand who is Olivia all about, who is Mega Man all about, because we don't make the time and effort to get to know each other on social media. Since we're friends and having a conversation with you, like, I want that the most. And this is where I feel like if we stop bashing on each other and stuff, if it, like, if you have a beef or here, whatever, like, let's sit down and have a conversation. What can we do to resolve our differences for us to push forward in life?
Right, because, I mean, at the end of the day, we all have to come together and be united.
Because you're going to see the same people. Divided. You're going to see the same people every day. So Miles is just like, well, get used to seeing this face.
Right.
Can't avoid it.
Yeah, you can't. So it's just best to just, like I said, be united. Like, let's just come together. We cannot be divided over some small bullshit, right?
You know what I learned from you? And for me, it helped me a lot, is to, pregame, like, have all my list of questions, information, and all that stuff. Because now we're in the fact-checking world where it's like, I'm going to go Google it. I'm going to check this out. Because there's always going to be people who are probably going to try to correct you. Like, no, I can't find this. Like, it's always going to be like that. And that's why I feel like for podcasters, it's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. And I feel like, you know, from the social media posting to gathering your facts to even getting someone on a guest, like, it was hard. It was really, really hard. And I, I thought it was, like, so challenging because I was, like, doing a little bit of everything, wearing so many hats. I was editing the podcast. I was posting it and, like, trying to come up with some dumb, like, you know, catchphrases and stuff for it. Like, it was tough. For a very long time. I really enjoyed it, though. I miss it a lot.
You're gonna come back.
You think?
I feel it in my heart. I'm gonna tell your boyfriend, hey, she's coming back.
Okay, I hope so. I still have all my equipment.
Yeah, I mean, don't sell it.
I don't want to.
No, like, the episodes, and I'll be honest, like, you can do it on your own.
I got so discouraged. Why? When I did it on my own, because, like, I can never get over the fact that I'm talking to myself, you know, and that one day someone's going to listen to it. Like, that was in the back of my mind as I was recording by myself. I missed, you know, that back and forth from Crystal, because, like, even when we meet up, I'm like, that could have been a podcast, you know, like, damn, like, we talk about such, like, you know, we're so silly and, like, dumb, and sometimes we throw out a bunch of facts, but I miss her. I miss her a lot doing the podcast.
I remember when I first started doing podcasts, I was, like, doing solos, like, looking at the wall, like, this is stupid.
Yeah.
But that's how I felt. But to me, sometimes now, like, if I'm doing a solo, I could do it at my house, do it in the park, whatever. You're just having to sit down. You're just venting. Whatever's on your mind, just speak on it, you know? Like, you have something, you know? I remember the last episode you did a solo one. It was, like, for 25, about 30 minutes, but it was a good episode.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm
not, like, blowing smoke in your ass. I'm just being honest.
Yeah, I didn't feel that. Like, I felt like right after I recorded it, I got so much anxiety, and I was like, that was such a shitty episode. Like, I was just, I'm my own worst critic, right? We all are. And I listened to it, and I was like, fuck, that sucked.
You're like me. We're perfectionists.
It's hard not to be, you know, because you want it to be good. You want your shit to, like, you know, reach a lot of people and touch someone in some sort of way, right, and educate people, I guess.
Yeah, to me, it was just different. I was so perfectionist, and it got to the point, like, just have fun.
Yeah.
You know, because if you're a podcaster, you're here to entertain. You're here to have fun. You're here to push out the message. You're here to be a... Your podcast to be very informative, and if it's touching people's lives, then you did your part.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah, and I couldn't get over, like, okay, let's have fun by myself, you know? Like, I would always have so much fun with Crystal, and we would have, like, a great episode, and the episode would end, and I'm like, that was so much fun, and it's with, like, someone that I really like doing podcasting with. Like, I miss it. I really, really miss it.
Has Crystal ever think, like, oh, I think we should do a podcast again?
I feel like she said it at one point in time when we were hanging out, but nothing like, you know, like this is gonna happen very soon type of thing. But
you guys are only doing seasonals.
Yeah, we were doing like, I think it was maybe 10 a season or 15 a season.
That's perfect. You could bang those out of the park like in 1-2 weeks.
I know. Especially if they were like only 30 to 45 minutes. Like they were really, really fast. I have a structure for it.
Yeah, just the thing that really just drags is like you have to be constantly be on your phone. Posting.
Yeah. And then if you're on social media for a long time and then you don't see those likes or you see like a shitty comment or something, then it's like, you know, what am I doing this for?
Well, that's the discouragement where it's like, oh my God, I'm not getting views. I'm not getting numbers. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. And
right.
What am I doing this for? It's a waste of time. It's like, I used to be like that. I just keep on going,
mm-hmm.
you know, because there's times I get 5,000 listens and there's times I'll get 300 or 200 listens.
But yeah.
As long as I'm having fun, I'm pushing the message and just being informative, that's all I care about.
Yeah, because you got at the end of this day, it's for you, right? Like, it shouldn't be for mm-hmm. anybody else. Like, fuck what anybody thinks type of thing. If people like it, great. Like, if not, then, you know, fuck them.
Yeah, and then that's what I noticed that a lot of people, when they took a break, because, you know, everyone wants to be a podcast. I heard an episode from Joe Rogan and Adam Curry, who is the godfather of podcasts.
You know,
he was a VJ from MTV. He says like, yeah, everyone wants to be a podcast. Like, what do you mean? He's like, okay, I can do a podcast and I could talk like, okay, podcast time. That's it for 10 seconds. And they're considered a podcaster.
Right. Like it can be about anything, literally anything.
Mm-hmm. And I always correct people because there's some podcasters like, I'm a podcaster. Where's your stuff on audio? It's only on YouTube. Oh, no. I'm a podcast. No, if you're considered as a podcast, have your stuff on audio because they're just trying to do shortcuts. But I think a lot of them, they just want to do podcasts to get numbers and all. But if you're really going to be serious about this podcast, you need to learn the history of how podcasts started.
Right.
Because if you do, you're going to love it.
Right. And I think that's like how I pitched the idea originally to Crystal, because I was just like, wow, that sounds like so much fun. Also, it's audio. It won't be my face. So it's even better. And then I just started learning more about it. And I was like, this is totally doable. We can fucking do it.
You got it.
So, yeah, I mean, that's how we started.
Yeah. I was going to ask you with situations when it comes to health. I forgot to say this. I notice now a lot of people are staying home to save money, but I see a lot of people cooking more instead of going out. And I think that's what's going to really hurt the economy this year, because I don't have no money to go out to McDonald's here, whatever. Instead of spending money, $10, $30, $40 on junk food, hey, let's go get some healthy food. I know it's a little pricey at the market, but let's just stay home and be on a budget and save.
Yeah, I'm all for it. I mean, obviously, like, I cook a lot, and I'm a classically trained chef, so, I mean, it comes naturally to me. Versus someone else who's...
You don't want to say natural, I'm the shit.
No. No. But I just think that, like, it's a lot harder for somebody who has been ordering out, right? Like, it's a little bit more challenging, because then you have to work it into your schedule. Because cooking can be, like, anywhere from, like, 15 minutes to like an hour, depending on what you're cooking.
What's the most challenging like cuisine or something? I was like, I don't know, but it was like, I can't believe I fucking did it.
Oh my God. I mean, veganism, like being in like the whole like vegan, like cooking and everything, it's been a challenge for me for sure. It's a lot different. Like things react differently. Ingredients, I should say. So, I mean, being vegan, like definitely cooking like vegan stuff has been hard.
Do you like eat a lot of tofu?
I try to stay away from eating like meat alternatives, I should say.
Plant-based?
Yeah, mostly plant-based, I want to say, because even like the Impossible patties aren't 100% good for you. Like my mom was like, this is healthy, like Mm-mm. this is great, like it's not 100%, like it's not better for you, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, you're saving a cow, but like at the end of the day, like it's not always good. So it's always good to just like be like more vegetable heavy, I should say, like get the proper nutrients, like get source your protein from like, the proper places also.
Like stir fry, like a lot of stir fry.
You can do stir fry, like raw, intaking a lot of raw veggies and fruits it'll also be a lot better for you.
Yeah, I just ordered a book, Amazon, from we were talking about earlier, Dr. Sabi.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people don't know this guy was healing people.
Right.
I didn't even know, like, the, you know, you said it on the episode, like turmeric, you know, the spice.
Oh, the turmeric. Yeah.
Turmeric. That's a cure for cancer.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. If you intake it like in the proper way and you have to like omit certain things out of your diet. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, it's a really good anti-inflammatory as well.
He was talking about like whatever I had to clean it out for 90 days, like fasting, whatever. He goes to Mexico, meets someone like who does herbs and everything, and meets a lot of these different types of people over the world. And he was like, let me try something out. Then he started doing his own remedies and all. And, you know, there's a lot of people don't talk about this, but, you know, they talk about like, oh, yeah, there's been only 5 people being cured of HIV and all that. But no one really talks about Dr. Sabi, where he cured close to 200 or 300 people from HIV, AIDS, you know, kids or people that have autism, sickle cell, just a lot of things. And just to get more healthy, because the stuff that we eat, maybe we're allergic and we don't know, and we're having inflammations everywhere in our body and stuff. And this is what the type of stuff that you eat. And, you know, and I just, to me, I'm just like shocked where I have two boys, and one of them has autism. And, you know, reading about if there ever is going to be a cure for autism. And there's some science they're doing with mice and everything, like we're going to figure something out. But they say, like, for people who have autism, you have like a dark cloud in your brain, cert in the back right here, that is not functioning. And so when they were talking about this to Dr. Sabi, he looked into and studied. It's like, okay, this is the remedy, what you do. And it killed probably close to maybe 20, 30 people. But Dr. Sabi is the only person who won, I think, the state, the federal, and the Supreme Court, like a trifecta, like, and no one talks about it. But the thing is, conspiracy right here, he was taken out because the pharmaceutical company and the medical people were going to lose their money. Like, hey, we need people to come to our hospital. If they're sick, we give them this, whatever. And they had to take him out. And to me, that's Black History Month, because Dr. Sabi, he was the person who cured a lot of people from cancer and autism and AIDS. So to me, it's just really sad.
Yeah, I mean, hospitals don't make money off of healthy people, you know? And they, you know, there's a reason why, like, there's, you know, a lot of, a lot of America has tons of fast food, you know, like, because that makes people sick. Like, it really, really makes people sick.
Corporations.
Big, massive corporations. So, I mean, it's just available on every single corner. And it's available to just about everybody. But in the nicer, like, neighborhoods, you find that there's a lot less of them, if any at all. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they're doing something right.
Mm-hmm. A lot of the inner cities and everything, the mom-and-pop places and all, but you're right. When you go to the nicer places or rich areas, you don't see that. It's always nothing but healthy foods.
Right.
So sometimes, in a way, are they doing this to have a decrease of the population to really focus on inner city and all, and not worry about the wealth and all that stuff? I don't know.
It's on purpose, honestly. It really is on purpose. That's what I think.
You don't see Whole Foods opening up in the hood.
Right. Yeah. Because I feel like that doesn't happen because a lot of people aren't educated on what, like, how to use those ingredients. Like, you know, like, if you came to me, like, way before, like, I went to culinary school, and you gave me an eggplant, I don't know how to fucking cook an eggplant. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of people that don't know how to, like, apply, like, certain cooking methods to certain vegetables, or you could even eat it raw, you know? So
really?
Yeah, like, there's, like, very, like, tons of them. Like, I didn't know that you can eat mushrooms raw. Like, I love mushrooms. I've been doing that. Yeah, and I had no idea, but there was, like, this little girl that I was watching, and she's like, yeah, I'm just gonna eat a raw mushroom. I was like, that's amazing. But I think it starts, like, when we're kids, right? Like, we're taught, like, and we're forced to eat a certain way because, I mean, my parents didn't have a whole lot of money, so my mom always bought stuff in cans, always bought stuff, like, frozen already. So it's all, like, I don't know. I feel like it was all designed in a certain way so we can, like, stay that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I just feel like in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, there was a lot of skinny people. But now you have a lot of obesity, which you have a lot of corporations of foods like McDonald's, like Cane's, and here, whatever, in every fucking corner. And I'm like, fuck. And I feel like when a lot of these fast foods, and I'll be, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I'm drinking a beer right now. It's something where you crave it, you fiend it. And even like, oh, I'm going to quit. someone says like it's going to take you about maybe 6 months to get all that junk food out of your system because for you to have a clearer head.
Oh, yeah.
And when you do, you feel like not lazy anymore.
Exactly. And I feel like when I got sick and I turned into like veganism, I made a list for myself, like all the things that I shouldn't eat and all the things that I should eat. And I call it like the feel good list. I can send it to you so you can make it available to everybody.
Did you ever do an like an allergy test?
Yeah, you know what? I did not do an allergy test, but it would be good for people to do an allergy test to see what types of food you're sensitive to, because everybody's different.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do, because I think this is what's going on with me. I think I'm allergic. People are going to make fun of me on this. I think I'm allergic to like asada.
Asada, really?
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to bring this up since you mentioned that there was a girl that Crystal had spoke to that she thought she was just allergic to meat. Turns out she was allergic to whatever growth hormones they were giving to the meat, like
steroids,
to the cow
or chickens.
It was beef in particular,
yeah.
But she was allergic to that, and she wasn't allergic to meat, beef, you know. So it was, I think it was that.
Do you see the videos how they put shots in the beef and the meat or chickens or whatever to puff them all up to get bigger?
Yeah, that's for I think it's mostly done for selling so that they can be like way heavier, like mm-hmm. I think they inject correct me if I'm wrong, like chickens with like salt water or something so that they can be a little bit more plump and weigh a little bit more. Yeah, maybe it's not done anymore, but I've seen that done before.
Yeah, I just have to be careful when you look at some certain products if it's steroid free.
Definitely.
If it's a corn syrup free. That's the thing where it takes me time to shop. And that's why like I try to go to certain healthy foods. I can't go to other markets like Northgate or Food for Less. I want to go to certain healthy foods. Like I like to see what's the calories, you know, what's the milligrams and all that stuff, how much sodium it has, like less sodium. I have to go by that. Even with coffee, everything has to be less.
Right. Yeah. And going back to that I made a food list, I want to send it to you so that you can make it available to everybody, because that's what helped me get better. And I just find that, like, you know, if I can help anybody, like, mm-hmm. why not send it to everybody?
When you were going through that situation, how long did it take for you to be like a couple months to get better?
Well, when I first started, I like went vegan. I hit it pretty hard, and those first 2 months were so hard for me because I gave up all alcohol. I gave up beer.
That's what I heard. It's hard.
It's hard. It's not easy. And then trying to figure out, like, you know, the protein intake, and trying to figure out like what, like how to eat your vegetables. It was really, really challenging. But I started feeling better probably after like 4 months about everything, like mentally and like what's going on with me.
You're not stressed. You're not have headaches. You're sleeping good.
Exactly.
Because I feel like when you have a lot of junk food in your system and all, like you're just, your heart's beating fast and you're just awake like a zombie.
Yeah. And I had to cut out my favorite French fries. You know, I love French fries so much.
What's your favorite French fries?
Oh, man. That's kind of tricky because, like, they're all, like, you know, made differently. They're all beautiful in their own special way. I can't put my finger on which are my favorite French fries. Obviously, McDonald's at the time reigned supreme, but I can't have McDonald's French fries anymore because they're made with beef suet.
Really?
So they're more, like, addictive. So that's why I can't eat them anymore.
Man, I like Rally's fries.
Rally's are bomb because they're seasoned.
Five Guys is pretty good. I like the fries from Wendy's, not the ones now, but back then.
I haven't eaten too much of Wendy's, actually. The only time I've eaten Wendy's was when I was in Canada, like when I was 12 or something, but I don't remember it.
Oh, the burger place I would never eat, the fries, the food suck, was White Castle.
Oh, okay.
I went to the one in Vegas. It was disgusting.
Really? Oh, that's such a letdown because everybody talks about White Castle.
Well, I mean, if you think about White Castle, I was eating those in the freezer when I saw that movie, but going, it was just no way.
No, like the hype wasn't there.
No, because I got food poisoning.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, and that's the thing about with the meat. Sometimes the meat's not cooked and it's still pink.
Yeah. And that's like, oh, I mean, I used to love like eating like medium rare myself back when. Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. But that should, I feel like that should like tell you something. Like if you're getting food poisoning off of meat, like why are we still doing it? You know, I felt like I had this like sort of like epiphany, this sort of like wake up call, like the second I went to like and turned to vegan. Like it's just, I don't know, it's just so much better.
Oh man, I want to try it, but at the same time, like, can we work a deal? Because the thing is like, man, cutting back sodas, I love Coke and beers and junk food, but the thing is it's the late night food.
Yeah, the late night munchies are real, man.
That's why I got this big gut. Right. It's called being well fit.
Right.
Hey, big boys are in today. We're still there.
Okay. That's hilarious.
Yeah. So pretty much in a way, like with your pop-ups, are you gonna be more like in Long Beach or anything?
Mm-hmm. I haven't made my way to Long Beach. I know that's where the money is, but the thing with like pop-ups, they're really like cracking down on who should be at pop-ups. So of course they're gonna be like, well, you need to pay this permit here, you need to pay this permit at this in this city. So it's all like it's becoming more and more difficult for small like businesses like myself to kind of get out there.
There's a problem right now in Long Beach. A lot of businesses in downtown restaurants and certain places, I'll tell you off air, it's a new regime when it comes to health inspectors. And their new protocols, like everything is like, you gotta have this, you gotta have this, and all, because I think in a way they're getting ready for the second wave of a lockdown.
Really?
There's certain things like that. Again, I'm just assuming, don't quote me, but there's a lot of shady and certain things. What's going on with the health inspectors in Long Beach?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've dealt with health inspectors in restaurants. Like, I've dealt with them, like, you know, face-to-face, and I fully understand why they do it. Like, I've recently retook my SurfSave, which is basically, like, a food handler's test so that you can properly handle food so that, you know, the elderly woman doesn't get sick or, like, the kid doesn't get sick, because it's so easy for someone to get sick off of just a minor fuck up. So I totally get why they crack down.
Because there's, I can't say, but it was a barbecue place. I won't say the city, but they're renting the kitchen. And I noticed, like, why is everything all hot and cold and everything? And you get sick like that. And I ate this person's barbecue and they kind of preheat it and it was cold. And you have, like, when you have something that's cold already, it's like it should be in the cooker and all. You have bacteria already building up already.
Yep.
And I got sick and I had to go to the hospital.
Oh, wow. It got that bad.
That bad. I was just kind of more worried. Like, I just, to me, I get it now. Like, with health inspectors, even would they have to go, I know it sucks with street vendors, but it's a protocol because you don't want to be selling stuff that's not even cooked, bacteria here, whatever, like health, everything, the temperature. That's a big must.
Yeah, and the temperature that it has to stay is out of, it's called the temperature danger zone, which is 41 degrees to 135 degrees. So anything between that, that's when bacteria thrives. So that's why, like, you have to set your refrigerators, like, you know, in the lower temperatures, like under 41 degrees. You have to keep things hotter than 135 degrees.
So let me give you an example. So pretty much in a way, like, if I eat something and, like, I have leftover food, I'm going to put it in the refrigerator. It's still good, right? Or it has to be in the right temperature?
It honestly depends. I think if you, like, if it's cooled down within a certain amount of time, then you can, like, place it into your fridge and it should be good for, like, a couple of days.
Like, reheat it or put it in the microwave? I don't want to put my stuff in the microwave.
What do you mean? Like, when you bring it back home from a restaurant?
Yeah, like, if it's a steak or garlic mashed potatoes or asparagus like that.
Oh, put it in the fridge.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely
But I'm talking about, like, to reheat it again.
To reheat it, you can reheat it, like, use different applications. Like, you can do, like, the microwave, you can put it on a skillet or re-deep fry it, depending on what it is. But as long as it reaches a certain temperature out of the temperature danger zone, you should be fine.
There's a new protocols with the health inspectors. So when they come with these street vendors, do you know already what they're going to look for your pop-up?
I haven't really ran into any sort of health inspector on the street like that, but I, since I have that prior knowledge, I do know what they would look for.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There is a person who reached out to me and said, Megan, man, tell her this. Since you know all the food industry and the vegetables and all that, is there any type of fruits or vegetables are for aphrodisiac?
That are an aphrodisiac? Yeah. I do know that chocolate is definitely one of them if you're trying to get all freaky with your lady.
I got a fun fact about chocolate in the end.
Okay.
Because I know with you, there's one thing I like, fun facts.
Okay.
So I got a couple of things.
You know, I used to have fun facts in my show all the time, so that's funny that you got a fun fact.
Well,
for me.
I'll say this right here, you know, for a fun fact. Did you know back in the day, chocolate, you know, if you didn't have no money back then or anything, they used chocolate as currency.
Oh, I know that, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was so valuable.
Yeah, and also, for a fun fact, what's the most stolen food everyone gets around the world?
A stolen food? Oh, I know that for a while there was a lot of people trying to steal Nutella, but I don't know if that's the correct answer.
The most stolen food around the world everyone just steals because, you know, you can make food out of it? Cheese.
Oh, no shit.
I didn't know about that. People steal cheese.
Yeah, I love you can
make,
cheese.
I know, and make like quesadillas, grilled cheese sandwich. I mean, that's what you had to do.
Yeah, and I mean, cheese can be expensive, so I totally get it, depending on which kind of cheese and where it comes from.
Do you see, when you go to markets or anything, you kind of see like, I don't know about this. I mean, I think this price is going to go up. Like a lot of meat's going up now.
Oh, are they? I mean, I haven't purchased meat since becoming vegan, but mm-hmm. I know that my mom, she purchases, she still purchases chicken. She occasionally buys red meat, but I did notice like that the price difference has shot up.
Yeah, avocados and lemons.
Oh, yeah.
I heard about like lemons, like, well, how are you going to put your lemons or even limes?
Oh, limes have definitely gone up. I've been purchasing limes for a dish that I've been doing, but yeah, it's really pricey. So what I do is there's like this app that I'm on that it's possible for you to trade with your local neighborhood, like people like who grow things in your neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. What's this app's about?
It's called the Galora app. And I actually had the co-founder on the podcast once. And okay. He was like saying, yeah, like, you know, it's possible you can like, you know, trade your bread. You can trade your avocados that you're growing with your neighbor in exchange for other goods or cash. Like it's an amazing app.
That's a good idea. Cause I, you know what? I kind of see that coming.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, if you need some eggs, I got this. We can do a little trade. Hey, it's a win-win.
Yeah, I got my lime guy, and I traded him.
Your lime guy. What's his name?
I don't remember his name, but he's on the app, though, and I've traded with him, like, some of my herbs and then the pomegranates that I grow in my backyard. That's obviously seasonal, but, I mean, it's a great app if you don't want to pay that, you know, supermarket price. And you know that it's, like, local, and there's a lot of love there. That get grown in your neighborhood.
Yeah, I see a lot of people doing farms, you know, having the little backyard farms.
Oh,
you know?
Homesteading.
Yeah, but I see it's like some of the ghetto people, they just come in and just take everything. Like, what are you doing? Like, well, this is like, I don't have that much money, so I'm going to start having chickens, you know, some vegetables to grow where it's, you know, it's healthy for us.
And I think that's the direction that we should all go in. We should all like have like that sort of self-sustaining like life in our backyards. It's 100% possible. And I want to be on that trend, you know, and I want to like have people do that. Because it's 100% possible, and I think you can, like, feed your whole entire block if you wanted to with just your backyard alone.
Yeah, I'm just watching a lot of stuff. I don't know if you follow L.A. in a Minute.
No.
He's going to come on the podcast. He's been showing a lot of love to L.A., you know, the history and all that stuff. And, you know, I didn't even know back in the day, you know, L.A., it was for some kind of reason, there's a certain area where it was all oranges.
Oh, I probably Whittier, where my boyfriend's from, but it used to just be orange groves, like, and there's still a lot of orange trees in people's backyards.
Yeah, because I also heard the story of, like, you know, when you go, because I know you guys live in Whittier, but you know the story with, like, El Monte and South El Monte, and you have Covina and West Covina. I was learning, doing some little history about West Covina and Covina, how they were separated, because in West Covina, they want to be their own town and everything, because there was a lot of farmers who wanted to not sell their their acres or their land to the city and all that. So it's like, hey, if it's going to be like this, we're going to make our own city, have our own mayor and all that stuff. So that's why they started, because of West Covina, and that's what you see a lot, like in Chino or Chino Hills,
right?
Like all that stuff. So it's always going to be divided.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't see why not, right? Like, it should, you should like be able to like keep your farm or like to sustain your farm in some sort of way. Like, I think it's great that people still do that, or people are starting to do that more.
Yeah, do you see like a lot of places popping up right there where you're at in Whittier, like restaurants and everything?
There's a lot of restaurants. There's like this area that my boyfriend lives at that there's so much potential in that area, and there's just, dare I say it, shitty restaurants opening up. And I want more, I don't know, I want more vegan. I want more, like, I don't know, healthier options, because there's very little healthy options in that area.
Yeah, because I think, because my friend, he's a vegan, and he's like, you know, Mega Man, it's hard for me to check out a restaurant because I have to go buy calories and this, whatever. And I don't want to be one of those, like, he was kind of trying to say, like, a vegan snob. Okay. You know, like, what do you mean vegan snob? Like, oh, trust me, like, he's anal about certain things.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, there are those restaurants that have been more accepting to it, and they are offering vegan options, but I feel like it's just a slow growing thing with just, you know, regular restaurants. But mm-hmm. I feel like more vegan restaurants are popping up, and they are good, and it's going to be switching a lot of people.
Yeah, I see that a lot trending right now in Long Beach, where they're opening up a lot of vegan restaurants, but there's a lot of vegans closing down, more vegans popping up. I mean, it's always going to be like that, the more healthier. They're really more focused right now on Pixby Nose and 4th Street when it comes to a lot of vegan restaurants to make it more healthy and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. 4th Street, I think my boyfriend and I go there every once in a while, but there's this place that they do this ramen, and there's like some that they do like vegan ramen that's really good, and then just like, you know, your regular ramen with your pork.
I think I know what you talk about. Is it that ramen right there by McDonald's?
It's called Rakan.
Okay, I think that's the one by McDonald's by Seabird. I think that's the one.
I'm not too sure. I believe it's on 4th Street, but it's really, really good.
Because I think that's the only ramen place on 4th Street.
Probably, yeah, that's probably it.
Yeah, that one.
Oh, 2nd Street. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Oh, I don't go to. Checking me. I don't go. Oh, damn. 2nd Street, that's for college kids. Oh, man. I don't go. I mean, they're cool and all, but I don't. There's, if you're from Long Beach, you just don't go to certain areas.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like it's really open to anybody. I mean, my boyfriend and I look like we're still in high school, so maybe that's why we fit in.
Mm-hmm. It's mostly a lot of people outside that go to 2nd Street or Pixby Nose or even downtown.
Okay.
Because back in the day, I used to go to 2nd Street, go to Panama Joe's, go party, just get all fucked up and shit. Yeah, good restaurants and all, but really, really been there and done that, because a lot of those restaurants, they used to be in Pixby Nose, and they like when a lot of the restaurants shut down, they started moving their locations to 2nd Street. But there's always going to be, like, working out deals behind the scenes, you know, trying to get out there and stuff. And it's not what who you know is. It's not what you know is who you know.
Right, yeah. It's always, I feel like that's anywhere.
It's always a lot of connections. So a lot of – we're going to see how this – I'm trying to get the mayor on from Long Beach.
Oh, that's going
to
be cool.
So to me, I want to see what's your goal, what's the direction Long Beach is going to be at, because – you know, a lot of middle class and income, lower income people are getting pushed out of Long Beach. And if you have a job in Long Beach and they're trying to find a place that's more cheaper, a lot of the Long Beach people are moving to the high desert, to Hesperia and Victorville, and they're traveling.
It's a little bit cheaper out there.
It's gentrification. So, and also at the same time, you're getting a lot of people from New York, Baltimore, Japan. A lot of international people moving here, and also I heard stories that they're gonna make they're gonna have a baseball team, the Anaheim Angels. They're gonna move to Long Beach, so a lot of, and they're just opening up. They're making a lot of condominiums, and at the same time, the small businesses they're being faded away, because in Long Beach we're really more focused on Cambodia, Little Cambodia. There's a Cambodian family that has all these restaurants and everything. And because of their gentrification really hitting them hard, they're getting forced out. You know, there's a lot of people buying a lot of property, kicking them out, and they're going to open up an In-N-Out or Chick-fil-A and this, whatever. And every 3 or 4 blocks, you will see a 7-Eleven.
Oh, wow.
So that's going to be our healthy for the hood or whatever. So
yeah, that's awful.
It's a lot of change, but we don't know if it's good or not. only time can tell.
That's true. Yeah, I really hope that that doesn't happen. But I mean, I feel like a lot of people who are leasing these spaces out get places like 7-Eleven, like all the big names. They get them because it pays the bills. Like, they know that they're going to get their money on time. So it's understandable, but they shouldn't push out the smaller guys.
It sucks. Like, and when you have a lot of outsiders that come and start changing up everything, they're going to be like, oh, hey, you know what? We're doing all this. Let's do it like how we did to East Los and make it to Silver Lake or Echo Park. They want to change the name instead of Long Beach. They want to change it to something else. Like, why would you want to fucking do that?
Yeah, I guess, like, places get a bad rap, you know, everywhere, I'm sure, like, has had their shit before. And they just want to bring in, like you said, gentrify it and make it a little bit different just so that you can raise the price on everything living wise.
Because I remember you and Crystal were talking about that with the Fat Ass Podcast. But what's your take on gentrification? Is it good or not?
I don't really have, I don't know. I mean, there's its goods and its bads, but, at the same time, like, if it improves, like, the area, like, why not? Like, it sucks for all the, like, the smaller people that have been there for so long and all the families that have been there for years. It's unfortunate, but, if the area improves and the area becomes a little bit more safer to walk, I think that's a good thing.
Yeah. I remember when I watched that movie Ellie Original on Netflix, and you know, with Estevan and Mr. Cartoon, you know, they were doing all their stuff, you know, taking pictures, videos, and all. But with like their headquarters and all, where it's kind of right there by Skid Row, by Art District, and now you see where it's all gentrification and everything and stuff like that. Where it's like, oh shit, like this is really look nice, but I get it. There's not that much crime here, whatever. It's safe to walk and cool. I can kind of see it.
Yeah, I recently did a event at this place called Goth Night in, like, the Arts District area. Ooh. And, yeah, that's more of my, like... That's
prayers!
Those are my people right there.
Goth people, huh?
Yeah.
Who's your favorite group right now?
I don't know, but I'm just saying, like, being in that environment, it's been really, really nice. But anyways, like, I was doing an event there and a friend of mine, like, showed up to the show and she was like, yeah, like 10 years ago, 20 years ago, I wouldn't be walking down the street. Like, I wouldn't be here walking down the street by myself here. And it's just changing. I think it's getting a little bit better.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, only time can tell. Well, do you have any questions for Mega Man? Do you have anything?
I mean, there's always something going on with you.
There's always. Speak your mind, girl. Speak your mind. I know it's all about you, but I know because we haven't seen each other in minutes. So if you have any questions, you know, just let me know, dude.
I do have a question. Do you see the shift? Like when you rebranded basically your podcast, you went from Mega Man to the Long Beach Social Experiment. Like, do you see like a sort of positivity, a sort of improvement, whether it's like you're with your listeners or with you yourself personally, mental health wise?
Ooh, that's a good one. I want to say it's all the above, but honestly, it's the maturing stage.
Okay.
Because I learned so much, you know, from these lockdowns and everything, where a lot of people started doing podcasts and just avoiding a lot of situations with people. I had fallouts where it wasn't because of me, it's because of them, of what type of energy that they were bringing to me or to my house or to my Instagram and all that. So I had to really erase and cut ties with a lot of people. And, you know, they could have their stuff about me or whatever, but to me, I'm this is my baby. And a lot of people don't know, like, and we talked about it on when I was a guest on yours, like, because podcast saved my life. And you know, this podcast journey that I'm going on is having you on, and I'm doing solo episodes to really open up my mind to really see what I can do to be a better father, a better future husband, a better person, a better podcaster, you know, or whatever I can do to help out the community, or also push a lot of facts or knowledge for you, for your boyfriend, to Mirage, to a lot of people, to really open their eyes and wake up.
Right.
That's what I see it as.
That's good. That's a very deep answer. I like that.
But it's cool. There was times where I wanted to quit. you know, when you know you're going to go through those bumpy roads. And I felt like, man, if I quit, then people are just going to talk shit, make fun of me.
Like, those people are right.
Yeah. And a lot of people reached out to me. You know, a lot of, like, major people reached out, like, don't quit. And like how we were talking about, you never know who's going to be hearing or watching this episode. You know, you might get a lot of love. You might get some naysayers. But you know what? Learning from doing this podcast, you know, you got to have thick skin.
It's true.
And, you know, I'll be honest. When I had, you know, we rarely look at my rate review on Apple. When I get a star or I get 3 stars, it doesn't bother me no more. You know, that you don't know if that just a hater or this, whatever. And you just keep on going. You know, you're going to win some. You're going to lose some. But to me, if I take an L, I don't see it as an L. I see it as a lesson.
True.
I want to experience more, you know, to see if I can try to get up there. Because now I'm in murky waters where, okay, now I'm with the big boys. I'm meeting people. But at the same time, I'm just being myself because I don't like to wear a mask. I noticed with social media, Olivia, that a lot of people care about views, clouts, and numbers. It's like crack to them. And I was addicted to that. I care about how's my numbers. I don't care about that stuff no more. I just care about pushing a good episode and just let it ride. Sometimes I always think and wonder, I wonder how many people are listening, and I want to know who are those people listening. But in a way, I wouldn't want that. As long as you be yourself and you're just having fun and you have a lot of people fucking with you, supporting you, that's it.
Yeah. I mean, just do it for the people who care about you.
Right? I don't even know.
Yourself.
Oh, yeah. I don't even know. I have 3 podcast listeners who are right now fighting the war with Ukraine and Russia, and they're in the fucking front line. So
it's nuts.
Having 3 Ukrainian soldiers listening to my podcast and they're trying to stay alive with what's going on, you never know, man. And to me, shout outs to them, because I didn't know they were listening to my podcast. So to me, I'll do whatever I can to get them through their day, because it's a very crucial day with them, because you never know if they're going to end up, you know, killing or they're going to die or this, whatever, but they're just trying to make it. So there's a lot of people listening to podcasts now to really have their clear state of mind.
Right. Yeah. That's, and I'm glad that you're still going, and I'm glad that you're still helping people along the way.
I know. It's just, it's hard. It's just hard. You know, like, what am I going to do? And you know, with this, it's hard to stay original.
Yeah.
Have you ever had dealt with that? Like, man, what are we going to talk about? How am I going to stay original?
There have been times, like, when I would discuss it with Crystal, I'd be like, okay, do you have a certain topic that you're interested in, you know, sharing with people? And I shared a couple of ideas with whatever I wanted to talk about. I mean, there was a time when I felt like I hit a brick wall. And there was times when she's like, oh, no, you can talk about that. Like, let's just, you know, we can talk about this. And then it just kind of like flowed naturally, I think, when it was just her and I. But I definitely hit a brick wall when I was by myself.
Yeah. Some people ask me, too, like, hey, Mega Man, tell Olivia, what is something a lot of people don't know about you?
Ooh.
They want to know your hobbies, what you do and all that, because there's a lot of listeners like, oh, I remember her. Like, they want to get to know you. That's the thing where we're in a society. We like to make assumptions or assume, but people want to know. They want to get to know you.
That's tough. I mean, if you follow me on my actual Instagram, not Vegan Food by Liv, but the other, my actual Instagram, I, like I said, I love traveling. Everyone knows that. I love going to shows and concerts. That's like all what me and my boyfriend do. Let's see, like, I don't know. Like, whenever people ask me this question, it's so hard because you're like, you look back on your life, you're like, what the fuck do you like? You know, like, what do you like to do? I don't know. I just like doing that. Like, I love being with my boyfriend. Like, I love going on an adventure. I like seeing something new because I feel like it's just so enriching. And when you go see a new place, it's like you learn certain things about, like, people's cultures, and you learn more about food, like, which is what I love. And I love to eat and I love to cook. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I feel like it's all out there for people to see. So something that people don't know about me. There is one thing that I can think about right now. When I was in the 3rd grade, I was going to some sort of school, elementary school in Gardena. And I accidentally pulled the fire alarm.
We all have. You badass kid.
But it was an accident.
I knew she was bad. Thank you, God. Thank you.
But I accidentally pulled the fire alarm while all of the, there's like this winter show happening. And I was on my way to go to like perform in the winter show. So all the family from everybody's like family members were coming to go and see the show. So that was at a halt, and all the family, everybody from each classroom had to leave and evacuate to like the playground area because I pulled the fire alarm.
Did you know about this? And people, I'm telling you, I noticed that when kids were very, you know, me, we're curious. If we pull the fire alarm, do you know they have to, the fire department has to bill that person?
That's what I heard afterwards.
A lot of money. Like, oh, this costs like $500 or $1,000 because,
yeah.
And nothing happened. Like, okay, fine, we have to bill you.
I found that out the hard way right after I got yelled at from one of my teachers. So that was tough.
Your mom was like, what the fuck?
No, my mom was just shocked. But the guy, like my teacher who was yelling at me, really ripped into my ass. Like, and it just sucked. And I didn't perform at the winter thing because I was so, like, I just felt like I was in a shit mood.
Oh, man. It's okay. I'd have to pay for it. There's no cameras. There's no, oh, fucking rule star.
Not in elementary school.
Do you miss the times, like, you see, like, everyone now, they're not really playing outside. Everyone's on their phones and Google and staying home, where it's not like how it used to be, like how we grew up.
Yeah, I remember like being a kid and just like going to like other people's houses or going to like someone's like backyard and hanging out. Or there was a time when I lived across the street from an elementary school. So my cousins and I would just hop the fence and just go out and play and then hop the fence back. It was like, it was those good times.
Those were the times.
Yeah. And my parents weren't watching me. Like they weren't like, they're like a hawk watching me. Like they were just like, yeah, go have fun. Come back at this time for dinner.
Almost sometimes when I go to my friend's house, when you see all the bikes on the floor, like, oh shit, I know everyone's bike. Oh, it's going to be a party here, dude.
Right. Yeah. It's so different now.
I don't know. I try to force my kids to, hey, let's go out. Let's go do this. I don't want to go on my iPad. I want to do this. Like, fuck.
They're living life through a screen, and it's crazy because they would very much would rather see a kid playing with a toy versus them playing with a toy, or a kid unboxing something, or a kid playing with toys, or I'm sorry, like outside in a playground.
I see, I saw a 2-year-old little girl crying, and I was like, and the mom's like, I was like looking at the mom. I was like, are you going to take care of her? And said, no, I just give her my iPad. And she stopped crying and started playing with the iPad. Like, whoa.
Yeah. At that point, I feel like it's up to the parent to decide whether or not they want to like continue that. Like, just, you know, here you go. Here, you can just use my phone, watch whatever you want, or play with this game. So I don't know. I feel like there should be like those parents that just say, no, like, let's go and play, or like, you know, talk to your children.
Because everything has to start from the house, like the groundwork and everything. Like, okay, you're not going to do this. We're going to do some educational stuff and all. We're going to go out, do workout. But with that social media, man, it can really fuck up your mind.
Definitely. And a lot of people like now, like the newer generations, I feel like are fucked up because they're living life through a screen and they want what those other people have. And like, they're just like, oh, like, and then they become depressed. Like, I don't have that. Like, I should have that. It's just a weird place to be.
And they lack the communication and the talking. They don't know how to talk to you. They don't know how to conduct.
Or
like,
they look at you in your eye while they're talking.
They're like, uh-huh. Like, they don't want to look at you and stuff. So that's what I see it as. It's like, that's where I feel when you said earlier, what's the new direction for the Long Beach Social Experiment, is to really sit down with my guests and really get to know them and understand them. Because what I learned is I'm not going to just bring a guest on and just, okay, ready, set, go. It doesn't work like that.
Right.
I want to get to know my guests, have lunch with them, understand them, and have a very smooth episode. I just want to sit down with people and just understand them, who they are, what they've been through, and talk about the past, talk about the present, and what's in store for them in the future.
Right. And I appreciate you doing that. And also, like, you were the very first people that brought me and Crystal in, and you're just like, yes, like, you guys are the next best thing. Like, I want to like bring you up with me. And it was really, really nice of you to do that because no one else did it.
You know, that's kind of deep because there is a lot of podcasts and they can deny. I don't care. I try to help them out much as I can. But a lot of them, they just want to do their own thing. Like, I don't, they just told me, like, I'm having fun. I'm not taking this podcast seriously. So to me, I just want to do whatever I can, because I remember when I started podcasts, a lot of people didn't want to fucking help me. Fuck you. You figure it out. And I was like, okay, I will never do that ever again if there are some upcoming people, because you never know, that podcaster might be bigger than me. I don't care. But I just want to help them whatever knowledge I can, you know, because there's no podcast for dummy books to really know, hey, man, this is, well, if you're getting into this podcast game, it can be very cutthroat.
Definitely. And I think, like, no matter which industry you're in, like, no matter where you are, who you are, how big, how small you are, like, you got to help people out no matter what. I'm always, like, trying to help other people, and I'm amazed and shocked, like, when someone helps me. But I think we should just have that mentality, like, help your neighbor, help your friend.
Yeah, what I learned about when it comes to our people, when it comes to podcasts, it's dude, they're gonna come at you hard, and it's like it's 10 times fold. Like, that's why, in a way, it's like, if you can deal with a lot of these other podcasters who just hate drama, this, whatever, and you kind of get out of that pond and see what's out there. What I've been doing is I've been telling people, like, hey, you can be the best podcast or here, whatever, but you're interested in that pond. Get out of that pond and go explore the ocean. Go internationally. I get a lot of views in South Africa, Nigeria, Australia, Scotland, and UK, and even in Argentina.
Oh, wow.
So to me, I want to get to know a lot of people's where they grew up at, internationally and all that stuff, because a lot of those Australian podcasters in South Africa as well, and even in Texas, they're on the come up.
Are they really?
Big time. They're like super intellectual, and I'm like, oh shit, I gotta step my game up.
Right.
They're just, because they read a lot of books, they do a lot of fat checks, you know, and all that, and the way how they are, they just talk very different, where it's like, oh boy, I think I ought to start reading more books and start looking at the dictionary about these, because I don't want to look like a dumbass. Like, I don't know that word. What's that term? What's the definition? Because I don't want to be like a fool.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you know this about me, but I lived in Australia for about 6 months. So their minds are definitely in a different place, like in the best possible way. So yeah, I totally know what you mean. Yeah, the way they speak.
You going to go back over there down the road?
I don't know about living over there, because it gets hot.
How hot?
Hot and sticky, because I lived in the tropical area. So it was just hot, sticky. Like, it can be 10 o'clock at night. You walk outside, it's still like, it feels like 90 degrees, like the sun's out. It's disgusting.
I just don't want to go to the ocean or in lakes at all, because there's sharks and alligators
everywhere. I mean, the alligators just swim from place to place to get to where they need to be. Like, that's when you see them in the ocean. Like, that's why you see them there. But there was like a ton of croc warnings when I was there, like on the beaches. I went inside the beach before, and it was fine.
I had a friend who he lived right in the middle of Australia, where it's like out there. Oh, okay. Like, it's hot, it's like in the desert. He met friends with like the Aborigines. Like,
oh yeah, they're really really
been,
nice.
They've been there for a very, very, very long time, and I didn't even know they had over maybe, what, correct me if I'm wrong, Olivia, 500 to 1,000 different types of languages.
I would assume so. It was, yeah, it's crazy. Like, they have like deep, like rooted history there. It's amazing. They're still pretty, like, pretty much there, like even in the cities too.
Damn, dude, I want to go to Australia so bad. But what else? Have you been to the UK yet, you and your boyfriend?
No, not yet. That's definitely on our list though.
What's the main, like, city or country you're like, I want to go?
Oh man. I mean, definitely, like, on the top of my list was Paris, France. Mm-hmm. And he surprised me with that trip. I think it was for our anniversary, and he planned it like around where during my birthday time, so we went during like September. Mm-hmm. So that was like definitely like the peak, like that was it. But if I can go anywhere else in the world right now, I mean, I've been to like almost every places in Europe already, so I don't know. I mean, I feel like I hit it already, you know what I mean?
What about like in South America?
South America? I mean, I would like to go. I would like to probably experience Chile, maybe. I would like to do that, but I feel like that's not like all the way on the top of my list, only because I've been to Europe, so.
I want to go to Argentina.
Oh, that sounds beautiful.
Because they make the best beers, because, you know, the Germans were there, so they make the good, like beers they have. The steak and their wine is so delicious, and their seafood.
Oh, cheese, too, I heard.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Okay. I might have to check that
out. Add cheese to your list.
Well, yeah, because that's the only thing people can get, you know? So, Olivia, we're almost at the end. Do you have any more questions for Mega Man or any last words or shout-outs?
I do have another question for you.
Talk to me.
If you could have anybody in the whole entire world on your podcast, like dead or alive, anybody, who would it be?
My dad.
Really?
Because I feel that episode with my dad will be very intense. It would I told my dad, it's like, I want you on. And it's like, okay. And he already knows what the type of questions and how he is. He's very intellectual. And it's like chess. There's no checkers. This is chess moves with him. And it's going to be a very deep episode because, you know, my dad was not with me half my life. And I'm going to ask him the questions, very bold questions, like, how come you weren't here? How come this and all that? And I want to know, what have you learned? Like, you know, why did you want to be in my life again? Like, I'm always curious about that. Like, even though he's my father, my dad and all, you know, it's a day-by-day situation to work on the relationship. But I feel like he would be probably my the best guest I would like to have, because he knows a lot about history. He knows what's going on. And, you know, my dad's just looking out for me. You know, I wish in a way he would tell me he loves me. But, you know, I guess in a way he can just say, I'm listening to your episode. You know, you're doing good. You got your shit together. If I just get that word, like, I just want to let you know, son, I fucking love you. That would just make my whole fucking year.
Oh, that's really sweet. I feel like Hispanic fathers can't really tell their children like that they love them. Like, they say, I love you in a different way. Mm-hmm. Right. But that's really special. That's really sweet.
Yeah. Like with my dad, my mom. You know, to be honest, I want to bring people that I know and I'm close with. But with other guests, like, not really. You know, I just, they'll come and go and stuff. But I need something where that energy and how they are is going to be stuck in my brain, my heart. And if it's going to make me a better person, that's the type of guest that I want on my show.
Yeah, and it'll be therapeutic, I think, because you'll get stuff from your dad I'm sure that you've never ever heard in your whole entire life, and he'll probably, like, you know, touch you in a certain way that you've never been touched before, like, on your heart. So
yeah,
that sounds like really special and therapeutic.
I think in a way my dad doesn't want to talk about certain things, because I would tell him, like, hey dad, like, where were you when me and my kids were homeless? We're living in the streets, like, for like three to like almost like 5 months. And that to me, like, if a person who was ever homeless, actually living in the streets, like, 1 hour alone can be like a whole day. And I feel like, how am I going to make money? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? It's like, I want him to understand, like, hey, you think that you know it all? Like, oh, you never been through the situation like me. And I would have been like, no, dad, I've been through more shit than you. Probably five times more. And I still fucking made it. I'm still a survivor. I'm still doing the podcast. I'm doing the best I can to be a good father, because there's a lot of in social media as well. I don't want to be a hypocrite or this, but there's a lot of not all, just some women are being very disrespectful, and there's a lot of single fathers out there trying to do the best they can to raise and love their kids.
Yeah, I agree. It's really, really tough. It's a tough situation. I mean, I'm not in that situation, but definitely know people who have or are in those situations. So
yeah.
Hats off to you for being a great dad.
It's hard. It's hard.
I could imagine.
It's hard. My kids are like, after the podcast, we're going to get pizza, right? It's like,
aww.
I got you. And tomorrow we go watch, Ant-Man?
Oh, okay. That's coming out, right?
Yeah. Oh, I was going to ask you, what type of music are you listening to right now?
Ooh, it's like indie music. I feel like I've been listening to more, it's called Starfucker, because my boyfriend and I are going to be going to
That's the group's name?
Starfucker? Yes, Starfucker.
Damn, that's catchy.
Because we are going to Just Like Heaven Fest. I just surprised him with tickets, so we're going to be going to that and seeing, like, Empire of the Sun. We're going to be seeing the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, so all that type of music.
Hey, people, I always want to say this. Mega Man, what type of music you listen to? Right now, I'm listening to Cigarettes After Sex.
Okay, yeah. We've been listening to them.
They're good. And there's a woman coming out. I think her name is Yiba.
Okay.
She did a song with Drake. She's on the come up. There's a lot of good indie bands coming up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But like
so much fun.
Cigarettes After Sex, the drums. My Chemical Romance.
Oh yeah, that's like throwback right there.
Oh, I was gonna tell you and your boyfriend, I think, I don't know if you get the tickets now, but there's gonna be a concert with Las Spookies and Las Spookies and Ama or something like that.
Okay,
I don't know, it was like a big ass group. I was like, what? I don't know, but it's just, there's so many good musics out there. And you know, I heard like Depeche Mode's playing this year.
I believe so. Everyone's coming out of the woodworks to perform.
Have you been to Coachella?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we went last year.
Oh, Mana. Mana's going to be there.
Oh, Mana.
Mana and the Spookies are playing the concert together. Sorry, it was a beer.
Okay, yeah. No, it's fine. Yeah, no, we went to Coachella last year and we had a blast. We're going again this year, weekend one.
It's hot over there.
It gets hot. It actually cooled down last year, like towards like when the sun started going down. It was like cooling down and it got windy. So we had to buy like jackets. Like that's how cold it got.
Did you guys stay like in a Airbnb or like in a hotel and all that?
We purchased, it's an Airbnb, but it was like a tent. 'Cause
you gotta plan ahead.
Oh, definitely. Definitely plan ahead. But we camped, but offsite somewhere else. Like it was like this place where they had like maybe 20 tents or something, and the tent was made out of this weird like fiber, and it got hot like at 7 a.m. when we were starting to wake up. Waking up dripping sweat. Yeah,
I don't know about that.
It's roughing it, man. It's really, really roughing it.
Yeah, my friend was telling me he was like, I was there for 3 days and I just slept in my van and took a bath at Ralph's Market.
He could have taken a shower on the festival grounds.
I don't know, man. I don't know. But he was like, man, I met all these celebrities. He bumped into Leonardo DiCaprio and all that. I was like, really?
We were ordering food. My boyfriend and I were standing in line for Monty's Good Burger. Like, really, like the closest thing you'll get to a vegan In-N-Out, basically.
Ooh.
And right behind us was Tobey Maguire. And we, like, he didn't see, but, like, we placed our order. We went off to the side. And then I looked who was ordering. I was like, dude, our Spider-Man is right behind you. And Tobey Maguire was right there.
I would have said, Seabiscuit.
No, oh my God, no. From what I've seen, like him interacting with paparazzi, I said, I don't want to get fucking punched. So I didn't say anything.
Nah, you know what? If I would have saw him, I would have said, hey, man. Instead of everyone knows him as Spider-Man, he said, bro, I'm old school. I loved you in the movie Wizard with Fred Savage. He's in that. He's one of the extras, like the bullies who had like the Nintendo Power Glove and shit. And he was like, yeah, man. But that movie with Fred Savage from Wonder Years, that movie Wizard, it was to hype up Nintendo because remember they had the World Championships and they were promoting Super Mario Brothers 3 at Universal Studios. It's a good fucking movie if you're like a super like Nintendo fucking game freak.
Okay, I love it when people throw celebrities off like that because they're going to think, oh, they're going to talk about Spider-Man. Oh, they're going to talk about me and like, I don't know, I loved Great Gatsby. But me and Great Gatsby, but like...
I don't know about that movie.
I love it. I like tell my boyfriend all the time that I'm obsessed.
Yeah. So Olivia, we're almost at the end. Do you have any last words or any shout outs?
Shout out definitely to you for bringing me on and just, you know, constantly being like updated with my life and supporting me. I really appreciate it. Shout out to my boyfriend for constantly supporting me every single day and anything and everything that I do. It always sounds like a ridiculous thing that I try to like go in and like take a different venture, but I really, really appreciate him sticking by my side. So yeah, it's great.
And you know, a lot of people don't understand when a boyfriend, a boy or girl, when they end up being with someone who's a podcaster, it's a hobby, and you got to have that support team with you.
Definitely.
So yeah, like I just want to say, Olivia, this is not gonna be the last. You're gonna come on down the road when I get my my video Long Beach Social Experiment. Can everyone still follow the Fat Ass Podcast still?
I haven't honestly been posting at all, but I would shift your gears to my vending page, gotcha. Which is Vegan Food by Liv. Mm-hmm. That's L-I-V at the end. And just that's where I've been most active. And you can find me like at different pop-ups, different events, and I serve my food and you can just come and eat some good vegan food.
Yeah, just tag me, whatever you can. I always want to help out a lot of small business. You're on the come up, your pop-up, tag me and I'll show some love and whatever I can do. I just, you know, you're one of the real ones.
Thank you.
You're a good friend to me. And I just want to say it's an honor for you to come on my podcast.
Thanks, that's really sweet. Yeah, that's so yeah. sweet of you to
and
say.
I hope you like the water.
Yeah, the water's bomb. Like, I mean, it's water, but it's in a cool can.
Well, Olivia, I just want to say thank you for coming on. And till next time.
Yeah, until next time. Thank you again.
And everyone, you can follow the Long Beach Social Experiment on Instagram. Twitter will be coming up soon. Facebook. Everyone's been asking me, you know, Mega Man, are you going to be on YouTube? No, I'm going to focus on Spotify and on Rumble. So get ready for the fall for the videos coming out. And everyone, follow my girl, Olivia. That's my girl right there. Yay. And best of luck to everyone. Shout outs to East of the River Studios. Shouts to Mirage right here behind the scenes. Shouts to everyone. Shouts to my kids and all. And everyone, I just want to say one last thing. Live life. That's it.
I love that.
All right. We're out, guys. Later.
Late.
Woo.